Welcome to the Midsters Podcast, your podcast for inspiration on being bold and saying yes to making the most of your midlife. Good morning, Isaiah. It's wonderful that you're here today with us. Thank you for joining us.
Yes, absolutely. I'm excited to be here.
And Leslie Ann had just said before we started recording, you're the first male we've had on our show, on our podcast. So thank you.
Yeah.
I found you in social media, and there were several of your clips or your reels that spoke to me because you were intentionally targeting women of my age, 50s, 60s, women in a certain place in their life where they're frustrated with their own health. The other thing, it wasn't just about weights. It was about everything. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about that. But I think the first question I want to ask you is how you put yourself on this journey. How'd you get on this journey in training women?
Yeah, absolutely. So for me, I'm going to go way back when I was a very young boy. It all started with my mom's health. I watched her go through menopause, struggling with her weight, her energy, just not feeling herself. And at the same time, my dad, I talk a lot about this on my podcast. I talk a lot about this on my social media because I want to be real, raw. I want to just share the whole story. My dad passed away by suicide. And that, as a kid, really shook me. So those two experiences opened my eyes to just how much health, physical, and emotional impacts, not just the individual, but the whole family. So I got into fitness, not just to help people lose weight. I wanted to go into it because I saw firsthand how life-changing it can be when someone gets their health back, when they feel strong again, when they believe in themselves again. I talk a lot about that on my Instagram. And over time, I realized that the midlife women are often overlooked in the fitness industry. They're told to eat less, move more. That's what my mom really struggled with all her health issues. But no one teaches them how to actually work with their changing hormones. And that's where I really started diving into why are these things happening? And that's what really drew me here, helping women in midlife, perimenopause, in menopause, postmenopause, and beyond. It's about giving them back their confidence. And that's where I really wanted to find myself, get that spark back. That's really the mission. And it's very, very personal to me. So I kind of went through this journey. As you know, at the time, you know, 6-7 years ago, a virus hit, the gym shut down. I was an in-person coach for many, many years at a big corporate gym. I worked with a lot of women in person, and I always wanted more to educate. And when the gym shut down for a year, that was also a moment where I actually took a lot of my education and my hands-on training online, started coaching online more, built that podcast, built that standing, built the account that you found. And that's where I'm at now.
Well, you know, one of the things that I have found about you as well, I actually enrolled in one of your programs. And I've always exercised from swimming to running. I've always done something. I'm addicted in a way. I went to CrossFit and I was going just twice a week. You were able to customize something for me that I can do at home. I took pictures of my equipment. Now I've had to add weights, which is a good thing. But outside of that, your checklist and your questions that you propose to your clients, there is empathy in that. Like you ask, what is going on this week? What might have your barriers been? Are you dealing with something more stressful and sleeping less? How can I better be here for you? So you have empathy in a way, and it's strange because I've never met you face to face. But I know you have empathy. And I think for women, that is a connectivity that keeps them wanting to work with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yes, absolutely.
You know, you kind of did a deep dive when in light of your mom's situation. But like, where did you look? Where did you, how did you compile the information that has led you into this particular specialty, if you will, in, as a trainer?
When it came to deep diving, a lot of my experience, my research, and also mentorships came from some of the top coaches in the industry. I've done a lot of coursework with certain endocrinologists, some other physicians, individuals that are OBGYNs, from more of the hormonal side. From the training side, I went to a school here in Minnesota called the National Personal Training Institution of Minnesota. That kind of built my base. But once I started really diving into hormonal things, that was when I had to get into a lot of the hard work, figuring out and understanding what does it mean for a woman to have low testosterone? What does it mean when a woman has brain fog? How is that going to affect her training? So a lot of that came from other outsourced individuals, far more educated than me multiple years ago, and then building up this craft and figuring out how is this going to work out. And going back to when I was an in-person coach, this is way before I was working with women in menopause, I was starting to see this trend where a lot of individuals, including myself, when I first was a first-time coach, a lot of women were not getting the results that they wanted. And I'll talk about that with that last question if it's asked. But that was where I dived into all of these things, learning what perimenopause is, postmenopause. One of my great coaches, and he's a current coach too, he's okay with me sharing his name. He's on social media. His name is Jason Theobald and Vince Pitstick, and he owns New Ethics. These two individuals are very, very knowledgeable when it comes to hormone health, women's health. And so that was two very important individuals that helped me get through a lot of my educational things multiple years ago to be where I'm at today.
Can you talk a little bit about the barriers? Like when you talk to women, it sounds like it's a mind-body connection. And so their mind's not right. They have brain fog, you know, not a lot of motivation. Is that what you do most come to you because they want to change the way they look? They want to change the way they feel? What are the barriers that they find and how do you break through that?
Yeah. Yeah. I would say it's a 50-50. Most of the time it's how they feel. And I preach so much about working and healing the root cause, healing the symptoms before we chase that scale. And this is where we're figuring out, because I would say most of the time when I get on a consultation call, a Zoom call, it's, hey, this is how I feel. Yes, I do have a fat loss goal. But most of the time, that's not the top priority. It's, I want to work on my brain fog. I want to work on my inflammation. I want to just get my energy back. And typically I say, hey, if we work on those things, the fat loss, the body fat percentage, the muscle gain will come if we're working on healing those root causes. So I would say most of the time it's getting them to start feeling better, figuring out what that, I call it the biggest domino. So we're always mm-hmm. trying to figure out what biggest domino do we need to knock down first? Because once that gets knocked down, all of them are going to get knocked down. And so really getting that taken care of and then building off of that momentum. And I have clients too, when it comes to feeling better. Again, I'm not an endocrinologist. I'm not an OBGYN. So I work with most of my clients, OBGYNs and endocrinologists. So if they're on HRT, they're on testosterone, estrogen, you know, they're sending me, you know, what dosages they're on. I'm not making tweaks. I'm just there to guide them and help with that journey with their training, nutrition, and obviously mindset with sometimes natural supplements too. But as I said, yeah, it's most of the time just getting them to feel better. And that byproduct is typically losing weight, losing inches. I think my most exciting one is eliminating brain fog, getting them to sleep better. And they just have energy to do the things that they love. I'm a huge coach on having fun hobbies, doing things even outside of fitness that makes you feel alive, and being able to help them women get their energy back so they can do those other hobbies is a big win for me.
Well, it's the whole person. I mean, you're really vested in the whole person. And I love that because I could go to a gym. I've been in gyms. I personal trainers. Very different than your approach. And it's so, so appreciated to see somebody. I'm not going to call out your age, but you're very young and you're very wise. And you have this empathy to an age group that I find just so inspiring and really like soul fulfilling for me.
Let me ask you a question, because you said something about dominoes and having the dominoes fail. And as Marianne said, it's, you know, for her, soul fulfilling. But what do you do with someone like me who doesn't actually like exercise? And I could work on brain fog. I could work on, you know, better balance in my life, better nutrition. But I will tell you that when someone says to me, you need to exercise more, you need to lose weight, that's a barrier that like my mind shuts down. How do you get someone like me? Because I don't think that I'm necessarily an outlier in that. How would you encourage someone like me to embrace what you have to offer?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. So the first thing I say, and when I think about this, is exercise. Everybody has their different view on exercise. Exercise can be obviously strength training or lifting heavy weights. Exercise can be going for hikes, paddle boarding, kayaking. I mean, you name it. Each one's going to have their pros and cons. And I always say, because I do have, for example, my mom, she has extreme, still has a lot of back pain. She deals with a lot of hip pain. So I don't even have her doing heavy weights. She does a lot of band work, a lot of walking, a lot of balance work. It's a whole different approach. And I always say, what is going to bring you the most joy and what aligns with you? If lifting heavy weights and doing leg presses and lunges, you're like, I hate it. I know there's a benefit to it, but it's just something I really don't enjoy. I typically say, you know what? It might be in your best interest to find something you really love that is still some kind of movement. And down the road, maybe you start very small. And this is where I like to work up. I've had women come to me. They don't like strength training at all. So I'm like, hey, could we try a 20-minute circuit from home with bands and some body weight and balance? Let's just start with some kind of base. Eventually, I've had multiple women work up two weights, you know, buying adjustable dumbbells from Amazon, and then they slowly work up potentially sometimes to the gym, but not always. So I always say, find that spark that you love and that you enjoy if it comes to whatever exercise that is. You know, and then it's just continuing to have that education of, you know, what does strength training do for a woman in midlife? What does it do to the resting metabolic rate and metabolism and testosterone and all the things? But just slowly working up to something that you really enjoy.
She actually did find pickleball.
I did find
pickleball. So she's found something she enjoys. But when I thought about that, I did want you to touch a little bit on, because I love walking. I don't love running, but I'll run and I'll bike and I love swimming. I did a lot of cardio. You have taught me, not that it's not important, but that strength training at my age right now, because as I lose muscle every single day at my age, it's just, I'm either going to maintain it or I'm going to build it. So can you talk a little bit about your thoughts on cardio versus strength training and how they can complement each other?
I'm not against cardio. I know on my social media, I talk a lot about, you know, you need to stop doing HIIT sessions and body weight sessions at spike heart rate. And when you use cardio, you use it the right way, it can work fantastic. The issue is women will use the old playbook when they're in their 20s and 30s. They eat less, they move more, they do maybe marathons. They really put a lot of pressure on their adrenals, which produces cortisol, and their bodies don't recover. But when you strength train, the goal with strength training, you actually burn more calories when you do cardio. But the purpose of the strength training is to build and improve bone density and muscle. It's going to outcome goal, keep your metabolism healthy as you get into your 60s and your 70s, your 80s. Cardio, I always say, and I talk about this a lot in my podcasts too, use cardio for heart health. Use it to get steps. It helps improve digestion, absorption of nutrients as well. But don't look at cardio as your main focus to trying to lose weight, because if you put too much pressure, too much cardio, say you're running, you're doing that high impact and you're already dealing with joint pain, back pain, you're going to find yourself in this position where you're spinning the wheels. And often we won't dive too much into this, but I love the Dutch test. It's a test where it checks your adrenals, your sex hormones. It shows me big picture, how much stress are we dealing with right now? And what I've seen in the past, and this is also working with OBGYNs and endocrinologists that run Dutch tests too, is women that do very high amounts of cardio, typically they're not recovering the way they should be. And so pulling that back a little bit, adding in that strength training, again, when I say cardio, I'm not talking about like pickleball, and pickleball is a fantastic cardio practice. It's more the women sitting on the treadmill, running for miles, not giving themselves time to relax and reset, and putting themselves in a position where they're actually putting more harm. Mm. So for me, when I program cardio, most of the women that I coach, I have a few ladies that love to run, but I try to minimize that. I'm like, hey, you're more than welcome to still run. I'm not going to take that away from you, but we have to make sure there's some form of balance. So I'm a huge step counter. I love, again, those steps can come from pickleball. They can come from hiking. They can come from walking. Ideally, I try to get everyone over 5,000 steps a day. If we can get closer to 10,000, even better. But cardio, low impact, like walking, is very low on spiking high amounts of cortisol, and the recovery time is going to be a lot better. So it's just figuring out and fine tuning who's going to benefit from more for less. And I go back to recovery and inflammation. If I have a client that has hip pain, or they deal with elbow pain, and they deal with back pain, we're probably not going to be putting a bunch of cardio in the plan. But if someone is fairly good, they their low back is good, they're healthy, they're like, hey, I really love to run, Isaiah, I'll typically try to sprinkle a little bit in there, but not too much where they're not recovering. So it just really depends on who I'm working with.
What's different between the approach that you have for women, particularly, you know, menopausal, postmenopausal women, and other like men? Like, what would be different in a workout program from a man at this age?
Yeah, most of it comes from recovery and what the body and how can the body respond to that training stimulus. And this is where, again, if I have a woman in midlife, say she's mid-50s, and she has had some injuries, maybe she's on some HRT, we're probably not going to be training like a guy in his 50s where he's training really close to failure. He's doing heavy compound lifts. And I'm not saying that a woman can't do compound lifts like a deadlift or a heavy back squat, but there's going to be a lot of things when it comes to movement patterns, stability, balance, core strength that I'm looking at through assessments the first 3 to 4 weeks I'm working with her, and just making sure what intensity that I give her, that her body is going to respond, because everybody's body is going to be very different based off of if it's a home workout versus a gym workout. So really what it comes down to is changing the intensity. Exercises though, right? Everyone can do a lunge, everyone can do a leg press, but there's going to be different sets of volume, different load increases that a male versus a woman is going, it's just going to be a little different. And this is just going to also be very dependent on, is she in her 40s? Is she in her 50s? Is she in her 60s? Does she have certain injuries? What range of motion am I dealing with? And then from there, we're slowly working up. And that's also goes for like pelvic floor training. Did I have a woman that had a C-section? Do we need to do more strength training for her core versus if I had a woman that has a really very, very weak glutes? Are we going to be training her glutes more versus someone that doesn't? So it's a very tailored approach. So I wouldn't say I have like a one size fits all approach when it comes to that, but typically it's some form of a framework.
I love your social media, and I love the fact that you talk about strength and muscle and protein so much. I think back to my own journey, and I think this is probably true to for the female gender in general. When I was young in my 20s and even in my 30s, my mindset was to be lean, to be able to fit in clothes and look good, and beauty overall. But when I looked at the men my age, they were in the gym and they were thinking of strength and muscles, the way their muscles looked. Women were more in tune about how their face looked, how their clothing fit. I didn't even think about building muscle. It took many, many years, and probably in my 40s. We as women think about muscle, building muscle, way too late in life. And sometimes it's too late. You're 60, you're 65, you're 70, you can't carry your groceries in. I wish that society, in society and in the female grouping in general, we could think about our muscles and the way they look or what they can do for us in the way that men do. It was such a disconnect for me. And I don't know why, because I have male friends. I know they're in the gym. I know they were lifting weights. And, you know, I applaud that. My husband did that too. But I never even thought about it, Isaiah. I thought more of the cardio and fitting in, you know, into my clothes and being thin. It was the wrong thing. How could, I think you're changing that. But how, what would you tell a woman like in her 40s that's still thinking about, or her mindset is being thin and not being strong? Have you seen like the bad side of that, the harder side at a 60-year-old? And it's a struggle, right? I mean,
yeah.
I just want your thoughts on that.
Yeah. I often say the stronger you get, the leaner you're going to look. And obviously, this is going to be also dependent on age. You know, if you're just starting your strength training and you're 60, you're 65, I applaud you. Like, keep going. Like, you're still going back to the grocery, lifting up. I have a client, she is 67, and she picked up a big thing of water bottles from the ground into her car the other day. And she texted me. She said, you know, I know I'm not as lean as I was when I'm in my 40s, but boy, it feels pretty good that I can come squat down and lift this big water bottle case into the car. I'm like, that's what it's all about. And so typically I always say, when it comes to strength training, a very common thing I still get concerned, and I understand, is, you know, Isaiah, I see these guys training, strength training. I'm very concerned that I'm going to get bulky. What if I start doing a leg press, or if I start doing a squat from your videos and my legs start to get bulky? And I always say it's going to very, 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 very hard to create that bulky look. The only way you could do that is if you find yourself taking enhancement drugs, which I know you probably won't be doing. But being able to really zoom out and go, when that fear sets in, I don't know if this is the right approach. What if I get a little bulky? What happens if I injure myself? Zoom out, think long game. Hey, if I start strength training right now, I know, as Isaiah said, the stronger I get, the leaner I look. And all that, what that means is the more muscle you put on your physique, your body, that fat has to go. It will. And again, it takes, everyone's going to be a little dependent, you know, based off of their HRT levels, their testosterone levels. But the more you focus on just getting stronger, don't worry about that scale. Don't worry about those other number matrix things. If you focus on this, the results will definitely come. And so I still get conversations like that all the time. And I think one of the best ways for someone that I've seen in my experience that starts to get bought into the whole, like, I actually like this strength training thing, is when they start doing it consistently and then they finally start seeing the change. It wasn't, oh, I had to eat less. It was, hey, I'm giving my body time to rest, reset, drop inflammation. I'm starting to strength train. I'm getting a little bit stronger every week. I'm starting to feel just a little bit. Hey, I picked up the grocery bags the other day. They felt a little bit lighter. Hey, I went out sailing or fishing, had to grab the anchor. I was really strong when I lifted it. Just whatever that might be, it's just those little small wins I've seen really help build that momentum. So yeah. It's a work in progress, though. I mean, I got women that I work with right now, you know, it's a mindset game too. You know, you're going to have those weeks where you feel like you're getting stronger, but the body isn't changing as fast as you want it. And that's when you have to really, and I say this sometimes, you have to kind of detach yourself from the outcome goal that you have and just consistently focus on the daily habits. Again, hey, I added one extra rep to the leg press today. I added one extra, you know, 5 extra pounds to my chest press today, whatever that might be as you're, you know, slowly going through this journey.
Based on the people that you've worked with, and it sounds like you're in communication often with people, even though they may be following you online. So you get feedback, you know, sort of how things are working. In addition to developing better strength into midlife and later life, what would you say are the top 3 things postmenopausal or menopausal women benefit from following your program?
When it comes to the postmenopause, the number one following the program, and I'll kind of break down normally how I operate with my program, is when someone decides, hey, I want to do this journey with you, and they are in postmenopause, typically they start on average around 6 months with me. I have clients though that have been with me for 8 months, 9 months. I have a few women that have been with me for 2 or 3 years. But the top 3 benefits they typically will say, especially when they give me feedback, is number one, they're stronger. And that strength isn't, oh, I just did this program, I'm a little bit stronger. It's, oh my goodness, I'm actually lifting more weights than I ever have, even in my 20s and 30s. And of course, that was normally dependent on if they had a lot of experience. But that's the one that is the biggest one, is, oh my goodness, I'm so much stronger than I was. The second is just confidence in their training and in their food. They have built this confidence to know. And I talk about this a lot in my other episodes of my podcast, but there is a pull season, a push season, and a maintenance season. I have a lot of women that go into a pull season. And what a pull season is, we're pulling back stress, we're reducing inflammation. So we're not focusing on the scale. We're not trying to push, again, byproduct. It might drop. But in the pull season, we are learning about hormonal harmony. That second piece is my ladies get into this very educated space of, they understand what that pull season is. They know when to say, I need to rest. They know when they need to pull back training. They know when they need to adjust their nutrition based off of their hormonal markers, based off of just how they feel. Again, I always say you are not your labs. So even if your labs say, oh, you have high inflammation or you have low testosterone, we always go by symptoms first. How do you feel? They're very more confident to making those smarter decisions. And then the last part they benefit is just the overall relentless mindset that they're just not going to quit. And I preach about this all the time. Consistency over perfection. When they finish the program, or even if they finish part of it and they continue with me, they get to this point. If they have a really bad week, they get sick, God forbid someone passes away from their family, they just had a rough week, they bounce back even faster. And this just comes from going through hard times, working through adversity, working through obstacles. So I would say that third benefit is just getting an armored mindset to just not quit and really enjoying the lifestyle. And going back to this whole coaching program, my program is different for everybody. And what that means is, when I essentially take on a client, I have a framework, but everybody's different. I work with so many different women in midlife, from early 40s to late 60s. So everyone's going to have a little bit of a different approach, but I would say those would be my top three.
Those are great. Isaiah, we're going to wrap up. I have to thank you though for taking on this space, like getting in this space for women and helping them learn about themselves and what works for them. Because it is true, you do curtail, you curate each week for me, right? And you check in. If for listeners, so not everybody can do a coach, and you kind of told the three takeaways that are so important for women when they are working in the way that you're teaching them and you're coaching them. What would just be a couple of suggestions for somebody at home to get started?
Yeah. Yeah. If they are at home and they're just trying to get started, if it comes to strength training, I would say if you have minimum equipment, if you go on Amazon, you could get a set of bands and just start doing, find something. You could do obviously a Google search. You could follow me on Instagram. I have a couple different movement reels obviously on that, but get your body moving. Just start with something. Get 2 to 3 workouts in a week, full body with the bands. A lot of those bands on Amazon have like hooks that you can put into the door so you can do back rows and pull downs and chest presses. And just start somewhere. Get those muscles working. From a nutritional side, obviously there's so many approaches. But for me, if you are very new, I would just do a simple Mediterranean-based Google search. Hey, what's a Mediterranean grocery list? Like, what are healthy fats? What are healthy fruits? What are healthy proteins and carbs? And just start there. And this is a whole podcast in itself when it comes to that Mediterranean focus. But I would say if you're just starting out, you're like, I don't even know what to eat. Do that simple Google search, figure out, hey, what are those healthy macronutrients, protein, carbs, and fats? And then the last piece I would say is consistently work on your mindset. You know, it's not game over. This is just a new chapter in your life. Find a great podcast for women in midlife on mindset, gratitude, and focusing on just what you can do in the moment rather than comparing yourself from, oh, you know, back when I was 25, I ran multiple marathons. Don't focus on that. It's a great accomplishment, but this is where you are. Now it's time to make a different playbook and see the success that you want.
That is great advice. Can you tell our listeners, and we'll put it on our website too, but can you tell listeners where to find you on Instagram and your podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. So if you go on Instagram in the search bar, if you just type in Isaiah Bawick at Isaiah Bawick, B-A-W-E-K, I should pop up on there. And then obviously, if you want to reach out to me, you can just send me a direct DM. I do not have a shadow coach. I don't have assistants. It's all me. So if you message me, you will be hearing from me. And then my podcast is on Spotify, the Menopausal Muscle Podcast. I try to do at least 2 episodes a week. And I also go live every time I do that podcast. So, and that live is just right on my Instagram.
That's great. Thank you so much for joining us.
It was a real pleasure.
Thank you. And absolutely.
Thank you for being in this space. It's important.